Psalm 145 in verses 1 to 3. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. You think you know how great God is, but you don't. You think you know how merciful God is, but you don't. You cannot plumb the majesty of God. It is beyond your comprehension. It's beyond mine as well. No one can fathom his greatness. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you for the opportunity to be in your word, and I pray that you would open our ears. I pray that you would be glorified in your name. Amen. God is great. I am not as confident as one man I know. There is one who stood up that I know of. Sunday morning, beginning of the sermon, he stood up. A little bit different than this in that he said, God is love. And he sat down and dismissed in prayer. That's all he said. That takes a lot of confidence to do that. I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. God is great. Can you say with me this morning, God is great? The reasons for praising God are manifold. I don't know if you've noticed in the last several weeks, but we have discussing the reasons to praise God. For our God is like none other. We praise God because he's gracious. We praise God because of his love. We praise God for his mercies that are extended to 1,000 generations. We praise God for he has chosen to call us his children. We praise God because of the freedom we enjoy in Christ. I proclaim to you this morning yet another reason to praise God. We praise God because God is great. You say to me this morning, Pastor Bart, how is God great? Well, I'm glad you asked. God is great, for God is glorious. Psalm 19, verse 1. You might want to just jot these down so you can look them up later. Got a lot of verses for you this morning. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19, 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and their expanse proclaims the work of his hands. All one has to do is go out at night and see the stars. And understand that God placed them there one by one. And he even calls them by name. We have a little dog. Her name is Peanut. Peanut sometimes comes, sometimes Peanut doesn't come. Peanut is a stupid little dog. But God, in his greatness, he calls the stars by name. And he says, all right, you come out and you shine. To the glory of God. Why does God put the stars in their place and call them by name? Don't you know it's for us? So that we can understand how glorious God is. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed in splendor and majesty. Everything about God is glorious and great. He is clothed in it. He exudes it. He is glorious in who he is. He is glorious in what he does. There is nothing about God that is subpar. There's not even anything about God that's okay. Do you know there's not even anything about God that's good? For God is great. He's great in all things, clothed in splendor and majesty. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5, then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Heshbaniah, Sheberbiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Bethahiah said, "Arise! Arise, bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Oh, may your glorious name be blessed and exalted above all blessing and praise." Praise him for his glorious name, for it's by his name. The Lord's name is great. His name is the authority by which he accomplishes things. His name is the authority by which we accomplish things. If you'll ask anything in my name, for God is great. God is great. The New Testament tells us there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That is the glory of God on display. The glory of his name. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The glory of Christ that has risen as a light and illuminated our minds and given us that freedom in Christ that we discussed last week. It is only through God and the glory of God who said, let the light shine out of the darkness. Yes, in creation, he said, let there be light, and then there was light. But he has also said to you and I, let there be light so that they might see my glory. So that they might know me and I might know them. It is only through the freedom that the light has shone in our lives, in our hearts. It is only through the light of Christ that we have the understanding, the knowledge of who God is and how glorious God is. For God is great. He is glorious in all he does. But let's not stop there. God is great, for he is our Redeemer. He is our Redeemer. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Some have asked, well, what's a Redeemer? I'm glad you asked. Some have asked, why would I need a Redeemer? It's as simple as this. As a result of our sin, we were sold cheap into sin. We sold ourselves through sinning into sin, to the bondage of sin. In glorious fashion, God has chosen to redeem us. Redeem means simply to buy back. You sold yourself into sin, and Jesus Christ said, you know what, I'm going to redeem them. I'm going to buy them back. I forgot to bring it. I have a Mountain Dew bottle. I have a lot of Mountain Dew bottles in my office. I love Mountain Dew. On the bottom, it says, redemption value, 10 cents. Well, that's not much, but that's the principle that's in play. We buy a bottle of soda or something of that nature. We pay 10 cents. It is then sold into our possession. And then the state agrees to redeem or to buy back for a whole 10 cents. Well, you say, that's not very much. It would be pretty easy to redeem a bottle. All you got to do is go shove that into that machine, and then you get the cold, hard cash. Yeah, true. So what is the redemption value on a sin-sick soul? Not 10 cents. What's the redemption value of the sinner who has been sold and is now sitting in hopelessness and there is no way for them to be redeemed except through the blood of Christ? Oh. The blood of Christ. You say, what's the redemption value of a sin-sick soul? The blood of Jesus Christ. According to Ephesians 1:7, we have been redeemed through the blood of Christ. You mean Jesus died that I might be redeemed? Absolutely yes, for it was the only way for you to be redeemed. And you should say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for redeeming me. God says in Isaiah 43:1, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. He bought you. He purchased you. Jesus purchased you with his blood. Praise God. How great is our God. For God is glorious and God is our Redeemer. But not only so, God is great, for God is eternal. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting. And his faithfulness to all generations. God is forever the same. Never changing. In big terms, they call it being immutable. Everything in this world changes. Everything changes. I look in the mirror and I say, well, what happened to you? But God is immutable. He never, ever, never, ever, never changes. He is today exactly the same as he was the day he created the heavens and the earth. Forever the same. He's eternal. He's everlasting. That means his grace is everlasting, his faithfulness never wavers, his love ever seeking God's mercy, his kindness, they fail not. They are new and fresh every morning. God will never wake up and tap you on the shoulder and you say, you know, he'll never say, you know, I'm just getting kind of tired of you. God will never do that. For his mercies, his kindness, his goodness, he is eternally the same. He is eternally the same. But not only so, Psalm 145, verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Boy, you know what? You ought not watch so much news. Amen. The news is very disturbing. Not that we should be ignorant, but we have to know and understand that the kingdom of our God is an eternal kingdom, and nothing, nothing, nothing will shake the kingdom of our God. Nothing will shake it. To all of this upheaval in the world today, do not let your hearts be troubled, for King Jesus is still on the throne. God is not afraid of the circumstances at hand. You think he's never seen anything like this before? For he is eternal. He is not alarmed at these events, for God is the everlasting, eternal, unchanging, immutable God. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. A tremendous doxology. You say, what's a doxology? I'm glad you ask. It's an outburst of praise and glory unto God. There are several of them throughout Scripture. This is a great one. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but this has also been put to music. just so it gets set in your mind. You ever hear the song, sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't, and then it's stuck in your head, and forever that afternoon you're singing about Mounds candy bars. Almond Joy. I want to stick in your mind now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only one God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. For God is great. Because God is eternal. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not even a shadow of turning with him. By now you've probably noticed I am developing an acrostic. An acrostic in that you take the name of the word great and you assign an attribute to each of those letters. We have G standing for the glory of God. We have R standing for the God is our Redeemer. We have E for God is eternal or everlasting. But now we have A. A, any suggestions is what we should use for A. Oh, that would be great. I didn't think of that. Huh? Oh, anointed, that's great. Oh, I didn't choose that one either. Anything else? Oh, thank you so much. He is so awesome. He is so awesome. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God Almighty and awesome. He is awesome who shows no partiality. God is great, for God is awesome. Do you remember back in the day when Saddam Hussein was kicking up his heels and the American military put on a spectacular display and they came on and said, "We are calling this shock and awe." It was very effective because the campaign was intent to demoralize and intimidate the Iraqi president, Saddam Hussein, as well as his army, and to convince them that they had no chance if they were to actually fight and get into a war with the American military. In reality, they were no match. They were no match. But as a result of this campaign, and there was just hundreds and thousands of bombs and ordnances that went into Iraq to convince them, you know, this is not a good idea what you are doing. It worked. Shock and awe. But you know what? The truth is only God is awesome. Psalm 2 reminds us. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain." God is awesome. Resistance against him is futile. For God is awesome. There are people over the centuries throughout history that have resisted God and they have been crushed under him. They have been crushed by him. Does God desire to love and to restore and renew? Yes, he does. But resistance is futile. And if you resist him, you will be crushed. Because God is awesome. When I was in school, college, my theology professor was a Jamaican man. His name was Dr. Armstrong. Spoke with a heavy Jamaican accent. And he was irritated with us. I was in school in the early 80s, and during the early 80s, everything was awesome. It was rather irritating, actually, because that apple pie, well, it's just awesome. An apple pie cannot be awesome. It can taste good. The trip to the beach, to the coast, well, it was awesome. No, it may have been a good trip, but it's not awesome. Dr. Armstrong repeatedly said to us, only God is awesome. In comparison to that trip to the coast, it doesn't even compare to the awesomeness of God. That apple pie really doesn't. Are you going to put the piece of apple pie on the same plateau as God? I think not. Only God is awesome. Only God. Only God. That leaves us with only one more characteristic of God to deal with. Yeah, we got a T. We got a T. We have the glory of God. We got God as our Redeemer. We got God is eternal or everlasting. We accept that only God is awesome. Now we have a T, and for T I have chosen. God is great, for God is there. Ezekiel 48:35, in speaking of the New Jerusalem, it delivers one of the great Jehovah names. In reference to the New Jerusalem, the new city, it will be called Jehovah Shammah, meaning the Lord is there. In the New Jerusalem, God Himself and the Lamb will come and reside within the city, and the residents will enjoy the presence, the very presence of Almighty God in their midst. The Lord is there. How glorious to know that the eternal God, the one that is great and glorious, our Redeemer, the everlasting God, the only God that is awesome, also chooses to be in our midst. Chooses to be in our midst as He displayed this morning. The Lord is there. The Lord is here. One of the verses of Scripture that is very near to me is Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art. The Lord is Jehovah Shammah. He is there. Regardless of the circumstance you find yourself in, He is there. In fact, He was there before you arrived so that He could be on time. He's there. You will never find yourself alone, for God is Jehovah Shammah, and He has promised to be with you always. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Jehovah Shammah. God is great. For God is always there. We serve a great God. We serve a glorious God, a redeeming God, an everlasting God. He is awesome in all that He does, and in glorious fashion, He's here, He's there. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, He is there. Let us give Him all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, for there is none like unto our God. I remember as a boy getting into arguments with other boys.
My dad is bigger than your dad.
My dad could beat up your dad. You were in those arguments too, weren't you? Comparing your dad and the strength of your dad with the strength of their dad. My dad could whoop your dad. You know what? There is no one like unto our God. Our God is great. In fact, you know, you do realize he is the only true God. All the others are false gods. There is no God like unto him. Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning for your grace and your goodness.